Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. My name is Phil Strum. So happy you've joined me today. My guest today is the promoter of one of the more unique promotions in pro wrestling, Game Changer Wrestling. It's Brett Lauderdale. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know very much about GCW. So this episode was as educational for me as hopefully it is for you. They have the GCW Collective coming up WrestleMania weekend, Thursday, April 4th through Saturday, April 6th, all sorts of styles, Defy from the Northwest, Bloodsport from Josh Barnett, DDT from Japan, Tokyo Joshi Pro, Progress from the UK, Effie's Big Gay Brunch, Joey Janela's Spring Break. So many of the different things that GCW does are going to be on display in Philadelphia and on Triller Plus that weekend. So I was just interested to hear from Brett Lauderdale and just kind of find out, what is GCW and what makes it tick and why should I care? And I think we found that out here. So here we go with my interview with Brett Lauderdale. So happy to be joined today by the promoter of one of the more unique promotions to hit the pro wrestling scene in a long time, Game Changer Wrestling. It's Brett Lauderdale. Brett, welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to start with what's coming up immediately because that's probably what's on everybody's mind. The GCW Collective, WrestleMania weekend, Thursday, April 4th in Philadelphia. Looking at this lineup and looking at, you know, the different matches and the different styles that are across this list of shows on April 4th, April 5th, April 6th, what makes this series of shows on Triller Plus so enjoyable for you? And how the heck does something like this come together?
Well, for me, and I think as a wrestling fan, it probably applies to any wrestling fan. The Collective literally is, it's one of a kind. And we literally have something for everybody. You know, from, just look at the list this year, with Defy joining us from Seattle, which is, has their kind of own unique brand, with Progress from the UK, DDT and Tokyo Joshi Pro from Japan. You know, those alone are just such unique companies and unique brands and unique shows. And then, of course, all the GCW signature shows, Bloodsport, Spring Break, Effie's Big Gay Brunch, For the Culture. They're all not only are they top tier shows, but they're all very different. So, you know, a lot of people, they look at the schedule and it's like, wow, it's a lot of shows for 3 days. But each show is different in its own way. So, you know, it's you know, if you're there for an entire day, you're seeing something different in every block. And I think that keeps it fresh and exciting.
Had you attended other WrestleMania weekends in the past and seen kind of the types of shows that go on? And I was just interested to know where the idea to do something like this came from, because it seems like a real, like you said, it's a real wrestling variety. And it's hard to do unique very often in pro wrestling, but it certainly appears that you've done it, and you've done it before too.
Yeah, of course. I attended, you know, WrestleCon weekends in the past, and when Evolve did More Than Mania, I attended those, and you know, I enjoyed them, and I always, you know, wanted to be a part of them. And then once I was a part of them, I always, you know, thought, hey, maybe someday I could run something like this. And then we did, and here's the Collective now, however many years later. I think this is like the fifth year maybe. So, you know, I'm glad that we get to be a part of it and kind of present, you know, our spin on what WrestleMania weekend can be.
I'm really happy we're getting this opportunity to chat, because I don't personally know a lot about GCW's company, the past. I see what I've seen in clips and read and what I think. So I think it's pretty apropos to have the person behind it here. How did GCW start? How is it different than what it is, than what it was then? And just who is your audience?
Well, GCW, as we know it today, really started as just one show. It was never necessarily supposed to be GCW. You know, it really started with a Nick Gage Invitational back in 2015, which was just really supposed to kind of just be a one-off, you know, for the hardcore deathmatch fans. It was, you know, meant to be a celebration of, you know, Nick Gage coming out of prison and getting back into the deathmatch world. And, you know, it just so happened at that time that there was a real void for those deathmatch fans, and there had been for years. They've been looking for something new and exciting, and the NGI, as it was called, provided that for them, and it brought everybody back and reminded them why, you know, what they love about deathmatch wrestling and, you know, just attending live shows in general. Just such a raw and unique feel and an unpredictable, you know, chaotic atmosphere. And people loved it. And it was such a successful show that it, you know, naturally, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, what if we did one more, or what if we tried, you know, one more of something else? And, you know, to make a long story short, you know, one thing led to the next and to a next and to a next. And here we are in 2024, and we run a minimum of 75 shows per year in,
wow,
of all styles. So, you know, I don't want to say it was an accident, but, you know, this definitely wasn't the original blueprint.
But you saw that you had an audience for it, and you kept meeting that demand, because, you know, I've seen even your schedule has gone to different cities and stuff that you haven't been in before.
Oh, yeah.
And you're getting into new places. Is the biggest misnomer about GCW that it's a deathmatch promotion? Because
of course
it's,
I mean,
it's not, but it's a wrestling promotion that happens to have deathmatches.
Correct.
I've asked people about it.
Correct. I mean, yes, it started as one deathmatch show and turned into a wrestling promotion that promotes the best of all genres. And just so happens that, yes, we do happen to have death matches sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. But yeah, the original show in 2015 is not the same as what you see now. And naturally, you know, for anything to grow and succeed, it has to evolve. And, you know, my goal wasn't just to be, my goal was never to just have a death match promotion. I wanted to run a wrestling promotion that did run shows all over the world. You know, that was of course the dream. And luckily we were in touch with what the independent wrestling scene needed back then. And we've continued to be in touch, and that's how we've been able to continue to evolve and be successful and give people what they want to see. But definitely under no circumstances would I call us a deathmatch wrestling promotion in 2024.
And that's what's funny too. I remember asking somebody that had attended some GCW shows, and her answer to me was just like, "Oh, well, if, you know, death match isn't your thing, just go to one that doesn't have a death match." And I was like, "Oh, that's a good point." Mm-hmm. But death match wrestling specifically has never really been my thing. I've known a couple mm-hmm. of death match wrestlers. I respect what they do. I know the sacrifice, the commitment, but it's just not my personal
sure.
flavor of wrestling that I watch. You mentioned before you have a lot of different stuff, and also your promotion has also become a breeding ground for a ton of stars we see elsewhere. Like, did that just sort of happen organically, or is it just that you have your finger on the pulse of that scene well enough that you're making the right choices for the talent that you do use? Because you don't have anybody contracted, to my knowledge, other than Gage.
Correct. Right. No, I think it, you know, I think that everything we've done has been pretty organic, but, you know, I've never set out to be, you know, specifically necessarily a breeding ground. I just wanted us to be GCW, and whatever GCW becomes is what will become. And it just so happens, you know, that, yeah, we do happen to be a great platform for young talent and for people to come and discover new talent. And, we happen to pick good ones, and people are watching us, you know, bigger companies, TV promotions, they watch what we do. And it's a great place. If you're a TV promotion and you're looking for new talent, GCW is a great place, a great show to watch, because there's so many talented young guys and girls coming up. And this is kind of their first taste of, you know, the mainstream without the mainstream, if that makes sense. So you can really, if you need to scout talent for the next level, GCW is a good place to start.
I thought it was funny. I believe you were seen at least greeting, a WWE executive. I think it was Stephanie McMahon last year, and everyone sort of made a big joke out of it on social media. But here we are, and you've got a WWE active wrestler on Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 10. We spoke to him about that last week. Do you think this WWE has a little bit different of approach to wrestling than the one under Vince McMahon? What are your kind of impressions so far?
Of course. Even just in regards to Bloodsport, this wasn't the first year that we had discussed stuff with the WWE. And the WWE's had their eyes on Bloodsport for many years. For people who have followed closely, they'll remember the Bloodsport we did in 2019 in Jersey City at White Eagle Hall, famously up in the balcony right above the ring was seated William Regal and Dean Ambrose, as he was known at the time, and Canyon Seaman, who at the time was the head of talent relations, I believe, or whatever it was. But they were there perched up in their own little spot watching the entire show from start to finish. So the WWE has been aware of us, and they've been specifically aware of Bloodsport, and there's been, you know, light discussions for years. But I think until there was a change at the very top, I think they were probably never going to become more than discussions. But yeah, now that sort of things have changed, it certainly seems like there may be, the WWE may be open to more, more, I don't know what the right word would be, more, I think they'd be more open to allowing things that they've never allowed in the past. And I think this, what we have coming up at Bloodsport, I think this is going to be a good test to see, you know, how far they're willing to go. You know, I think it's a wait and see. You know, maybe this goes great and it works out for everybody, as I think it will, of course. You know, I think that could open the door to more. So, you know, I'm excited that we get to kind of be that first bridge. And, you know, I'm very confident that we're going to be able to provide a good experience for both the talent and the fans, which is most important. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's funny for me with WWE, because oftentimes I think they get the label of like, well, they don't work with anybody. But then when you look through their history, they actually have worked with tons of different promotions, including ECW, including Smoky Mountain, New True. Japan. You know, they had a AAA agreement, I remember, in the 90s for a Royal Rumble and a couple of other things. So it's like, and then of course Evolve and Progress and WXW, and I'm trying to think of what the other one was. The ICW, I think, in the Scotland.
They sent Nakamura to Noah recently as well,
and Charlie Dempsey to All Japan,
right,
too. So it's like, while there is that history, some, like, they're doing what makes sense for them, and sometimes what makes sense for them is be insular. But something like is happening on the Josh Barnett Bloodsport show, to me, is more like going back to the way that the territories helped people develop and helped people work in different types of environments. Because, you know, if somebody got stale in like 1981 and give a call to like Bill Watts or something and go do a Mid-South run or something like that. But, you know, so that's kind of what I look at this opportunity as, is just, you know, it's a way to just create more interesting wrestling surrounding different people that different promoters can use. Like it's got to excite you, because that's your whole deal, it seems like, with GCW, is that you're bringing in people from all over the place and just trying to create interesting matchups that are going to appeal to your audience. Like, do you see it the same way? Because I'm just babbling at this point. But
no, of course. I mean, when you run as many shows as we do, you need to keep it interesting. You need to keep things. You need to constantly, you know, change it up and keep it interesting and keep people on their toes. And, yeah, of course, you know, I always want to bring in the best talent we can and from wherever. Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, just very similar to the old territory days. But I think there's so many wrestlers, you know, maybe it doesn't apply to Shayna Baszler in particular, but they have so many people under contract, both WWE and AEW, that just because of the sheer numbers that they have, there just is literally not room enough for everybody on TV every week. And, you know, that affects the talent in multiple ways. You know, like, you know, they're a talent that feels like, you know, they should be doing more and they don't want to sit at home. Or there's talent that could use more work just to keep them sharp until that time comes when they get called back to TV. And I think it would probably be beneficial for companies like WWE or AEW to consider letting them come and do some independent shows once in a while, just to kind of keep the talent sharp, keep them from getting bored sitting at home, or even getting, you know, upset about not doing anything. You know, wrestlers do want to wrestle. That's one thing I've learned over the years. You know, nobody wants to, I know that some of us think, oh, wow, that person just gets to sit at home and they get paid anyways. But wrestlers don't want to do that. Wrestlers want to wrestle. So, you know, I think that potentially maybe this is a gateway to something like that, allowing people to stay busy and stay sharp and just do stuff when they're not doing stuff. So, you know, there could be a whole...
Mm-hmm. There's way more spots now, you know, with WWE and AEW both running. So there's fewer wrestlers on the independent scene. But also something like this, you know, you're giving back to that independent scene because guess what? AEW and WWE need that independent scene because where are they going to get the next? Yes, you're going to have your NILs and your college athletes that you're recruited for WWE. But what's going to be the lifeblood of your pipeline that you need to keep healthy? It's promotions like yours, and it's all the other independent promoters out there that are going to continue to produce talent, and you have a track record of it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. You know, people like furthermore, you know, you have a talent who's not doing anything, you get them out here in the independent scene, and you know, you can kind of generate that buzz for them organically all over again. So,
I look back at the way that Matt Cardona recreated himself, sure, largely through your own promotion, but he completely changed the narrative about himself having left WWE.
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, I think it's a good little test run coming up. And I think if it goes well, who knows? Who's to say it can't happen again or happen more?
I did have a couple of specific questions about the GCW Collective. I reached out to somebody I know who's a pretty big Joshi fan, Eric Sturrock, who's some people may know him, but he actually had a couple of questions about the card specifically. He wanted to know what fans can expect at the GCW versus TJPW show. And then the other question he had was if GCW had any plans to bring in any more Joshi wrestlers in 2024.
When did he give you those questions?
Last night.
Okay. Well, about 30 minutes ago, I just posted the full card on GCW social media for the GCW versus Tokyo Joshi Pro show.
Perfect.
So, I mean, yeah, it's eight matches, I think. And it's GCW wrestlers versus TJPW wrestlers. And I think it's a really exciting card. It's the best of both worlds. And you're getting to see matchups that really can only happen at the Collective. There's no other time or place where you could get this much, you know, interpromotional, top of the line matchups. There's just really no other time or place where it could happen. So it's a very unique event. TJPW brought their best. I mean, this wasn't like, oh, we'll send a few people over. No, they brought the entire A team. So for fans of Joshi Wrestling, this is your opportunity to see them all at once. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just a bonus. If you happen to also like GCW, well, the GCW versus Tokyo Joshi Pro Show is really a dream come true. So definitely check that out. It's going to be Saturday at 2:30 PM, Saturday, April 6th at 2:30 PM. But, as far as Joshi wrestlers in general, I think GCW has made big steps forward, in the last year or two in terms of being a bridge for Joshi wrestlers and giving them a platform and bringing wrestlers that have not competed for American Indies before. You know, for example, Stardom, you know, never lets their wrestlers do indies, really, especially here in America. But they sent Utami to us over the summer, last summer, for her first little excursion into the U.S. Indies, and we were the only ones that had her. We had her for 3 dates, and you know, she's one of Stardom's top stars. Mm-hmm. And GCW was the only company that was able to bring that to the fans. Of course, we've also, I mean, if you for those who follow GCW, you see what Maki Ito has become in GCW, mm-hmm. and how she's just kind of, you know, she went from somebody who was, you know, looking and hoping to branch out in the USA to becoming one of the top stars in the top independent wrestling company in the United States. She's amazing. She's a great performer and character. And every single show that we have, Maki Ito has the longest merchandise line before and after the show. We've also seen Rina Yamashita, who was, basically a freelance deathmatch wrestler in Japan. And we brought her over a couple years ago, and she's become one of our top stars again, not just in our deathmatch division, so to speak, but one of our top stars, period. And she comes over frequently. You know, she'll come for a month, go home for a month, come back for a month. And she's been going back and forth for a couple of years now. So, and I still feel like we're just getting started as far as our connection with Joshi Wrestling goes and who's coming. And I know there's more people coming. So I think if that's something you're interested in, stay tuned and keep supporting when we do have them. And that all that can do is encourage more.
And if someone like, say, myself isn't as familiar with the GCW product, as you got a little guest star behind you there, mm-hmm. are there any shows or matches you'd recommend as a primer to kind of get yourself familiarized with GCW?
I'm sorry, did you, in regards to GCW in general?
Yeah.
Sure, of course. I mean, all the spring breaks are kind of like, that's our sort of WrestleMania every year, Joey Janela's spring break. Bloodsport, again, kind of to show a little bit of our versatility. If you're into MMA or more mat-based wrestling, that's a good show for you. Any of the shows that we do in Los Angeles, those are like real, like, kind of showcases of GCW. The shows we do in New York City or the Hammerstein Ballroom show, you know, an example of, you know, us kind of taking things up a notch. We did a show in Corkin Hall last summer, which was the first, we're the first American indie to run its own show at Corkin Hall in Japan. That was another great showcase of kind of the best of GCW. Any of those, there's too many individual shows to mention, but those are good starting points if you want to kind of dig in just at the top and see what GCW is about.
Yeah, and just giving everybody the heads up too, that stuff's all available on the Triller Plus platform now too, because that's mm-hmm. where you get GCW. So I have some work to do and I have some homework to do, and I acknowledge that.
But I expect you to catch up on all 8 years, and I want to report on every show.
There's certain promotions I haven't even watched in about 2 months right now, so it's going to take me a little while.
All right, we'll give you an extension.
Very nice. Yeah, it's there's so much content out there.
Mm-hmm.
People have, and that's why, lives.
Right, and that's why this Triller Plus, powered by Fight TV, as it's called, is really such an awesome deal and such a great app. It's honestly crazy to me that for $7.99 a month, you do see all of GCW's live events, plus get access to our entire catalog, plus all these other promotions and MMA and boxing. I really think people don't even understand. I don't think enough people know about it and understand how much of a good deal it is and literally how much you get at your fingertips. On a daily and weekly basis, it honestly is a great deal. Even if you took GCW out of it, it's an amazing deal. But, you know, you put GCW in, and of course, to me, it's a chemist, but I don't understand, if you're a wrestling fan, how it's not the best value in wrestling, honestly.
Yeah. And it seems like the collective show specifically is sort of like a really good appetizer sampler of kind of like what you're going to get on there too.
Oh yeah. And all previous collectives are on there as well. So
nice.
If you want to do a little, advanced research, that's a good place to start.
What makes GCW such a good place for wrestlers to work?
Well, so aside from it being, such a visible company and having such a large and vocal and energetic following and enthusiastic and engaged following, GCW is a good place to be a wrestler because so things are always changing in GCW. You're always in front of new fan bases. You're in new cities. You're wrestling people of different styles. GCW provides something that, your common, everyday, typical independent wrestling companies can't provide. The once a month companies, they're running the same venue once a month, every month, and that's it. You're in front of the same fans. You're wrestling the same wrestlers. And you know, you're not going anywhere. And I think that kind of can limit people's growth as a wrestler. Whereas GCW, you know, you're traveling, even on weekends, you know, two or three show weekends where you're going from one city to the next. It provides a unique experience, which is the part of wrestling that's important, but a lot of fans don't necessarily, the fans don't necessarily see it. But if you're a wrestler, and especially if you're a wrestler who's going to go on to the WWE and wrestle four nights a week, there's really no better preparation for that than GCW. Keeping a busy schedule and always on the move, and being watched by big audiences, both live in person and online. It's a great place to kind of prepare yourself and get ready for the next level, whatever that may be for you. And yeah, I mean, of course, wrestling in front of the best fans, what could be better than that?
And when I think of GCW, the name I think of first mentioned before is Nick Gage. What makes him such an important part of your company's history?
Oh yeah. Well, Nick Gage is a one in a million. He's one of a kind. He's a one of a kind performer and a one of a kind character. And he has a unique history, and a history that's really unbelievable in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, people who watch Dark Side of the Ring know his story, and those that have followed him even outside and knew of him and followed him before the Dark Side of the Ring episode, you know how crazy and unrealistic his story is. His real life story is unrealistic. But aside from that, aside just from his crazy background, Nick Gage, the performer, has a connection with fans that in my years, all my years of being around, I've never seen anybody have a connection with the fans the way that he does. And it's weird, you know, to say, you know, fans just seem to relate to him because, you know, how do you relate to a guy who robbed a bank and did 6 years in prison? But I think people relate to him in the fact that, you know, he's an underdog and he puts his full heart and spirit and his passion and pride into everything he does, you know, for GCW and for the fans. And I mean, he's on record, you know, he says it all the time, you know. He's not in it for money. He doesn't have a ton of friends and family. He's doing this for the fans, and you know, he's gonna keep wrestling for the fans until he dies in a ring. He's ready to go until that's it. He doesn't have anything else that he's, you know, as he says, this is number one in his life, is being in front of the fans and around the fans. And, you know, he gets life from the fans. And I think, you know, they've all just kind of established this connection. And, you know, Nick has this, well, first of all, when he says it, he means it. But, you know, he has this believability both, you know, to his character as well. Just, you know, when he says something, you believe it and you feel it, and it's provided a bond that between him and fans that is literally second to none. I've never seen it, and it's lasted all these years, and it doesn't seem to ever, I mean, Nick's never changed, so I don't see that bond changing. You know, he's the same guy now, you know, minus maybe some demons, as he was when I first met him more than 20 years ago. So he's just one of those unique personalities, and he bleeds and lives and he bleeds GCW, and he's proud to be part of GCW. And I mean, fans just appreciate that passion and that heart. And yeah, I mean, he's as important as anybody to GCW from day one to now. And I don't ever see that changing.
Very good. We're going to move on to something we call the three count now. It's going to be three quick questions, your answers. So first one, just seeing some of all the different people that you feature on your shows over the years, what's the most random conversation you've ever run across at a GCW collective show?
I saw Fake Sting. Fake Jeff Sting, the Virgil. Farmer.
Yeah.
Yes, Fake Sting in costume, talking to Virgil and Nick Gage backstage at the Collective in Jersey City. And I think there's a picture of that circulating somewhere, but just such like a weird, like, how did these three people come together and
he's in the being the same?
Yeah. And just like standing there talking to each other. And like, I don't know, I don't know what they were talking about, but I remember, you know, standing 10 or 15 feet away and just looking like, wow, this will never happen again. You know?
I love that. Hopefully yeah. You get a bunch of those in Philly too.
Yeah.
Like, just looking at some of the names on this card, there's mm-hmm. opportunities there too.
Yeah.
Second question, who's someone from pro wrestling history who would have fit into GCW like a glove?
Wow. So I always think about how cool it would have been to have Eddie Gilbert had he been around still. I always thought that kind of his style would have fit in well with GCW, especially in the you know, in the more formative years. Of course, I mean, he's still with us, not in the same way that he used to be, but of course, like you know, a Cactus Jack, you know, would have been so cool, you know, for, you know, the deathmatch glory days of GCW. I mean, you know, you can name any of the yeah. favorites from growing up just to want to see what it would be like to see them in there. But, you know, those are two that always come to mind for me.
Eddie Gilbert's interesting too, because I actually brought him up to someone else literally like an hour ago. And uh-huh. we were talking about who we would like to see on Dark Side of the Ring. And I think an Eddie Gilbert story would be pretty fascinating on there.
I think there's a lot of layers probably too, yeah. that would make for probably a pretty interesting episode.
And also Eddie Gilbert is sort of the spiritual beginning of ECW in a way too.
Yeah.
Which is why it makes it kind of interesting for you guys. Cause I feel like that's some of that, spirit, I guess I'll say,
100% for sure. And yeah, I mean, definitely he's I mean, that's the start. I mean, ECW, you don't often hear it maybe referred to as an independent wrestling company, but really, I mean, the roots are as independent as it gets, I would say.
Yeah. And then finally, the last question, have you changed the game?
I think so, for sure. I think that in my mind, GCW has absolutely influenced the way wrestling, the way the wrestling business is today. I believe that Spring Break 1, Joey Janela's Spring Break 1, all the way back in 2017 in Orlando, the breakout success that it had, I think definitely triggered something in the wrestling industry. I think it showed certain stars who were part of other companies that maybe they didn't need to be a part of this company to have breakout success, and that they could go and do things on their own, which I think, you know, kind of may have been a spark in many ways for what has become AEW. I think it showed, you know, that you don't necessarily have to be a big star in the WWE to be the face of a big company or have success, or even to be a big star in New Japan or whatever. I think it showed that an independent wrestler or independent company, if they take the chance and they're willing to put it on the line, that perhaps you don't have to go by the traditions and the rules of wrestling, you know, that there is life outside of the parameters as they've been, you know. And I truly believe that. I believe that influenced and lit a spark and let people know, like, wait, there might be more possible here.
Yeah. Well, GCW Collective, WrestleMania weekend, Thursday, April 4th, 5th, 6th, Triller Plus, Game Changer Wrestling. Brett Lauderdale, congratulations on all the stuff that you have accomplished and Game Changer has accomplished in a pretty short period of time. I'm interested to see, you know, the next steps for you guys and seeing what more success you have. So congratulations on all that. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining me this week on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank GCW promoter Brett Lauderdale. I'd also like to thank Owen Phillips from Triller for helping set this up. Follow me on Twitter @UnderTheRing for all the latest guest announcements, and have a